And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezvic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Joe, how we doing? What's going on?
So Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian are together? Is that right?
Is that a thing?
Joe, that was like a week ago news. Come on.
Really? Oh. That's old news?
Yeah. There's a lot of speculation, but I guess it's official. The SNL, her SNL skit, maybe they just rekindled the love.
What's up with Pete Davidson?
I don't understand this.
I don't know. Funny.
He's funny.
It's been quite a run for him.
Yeah, it has. I guess good for him.
Good for Pete Davidson. All right. I caught that across
Twitter.
Also,
she's like 41, isn't she? Like 45. How old is she?
And he's like, I'm going to Google that right now.
Late 20s.
Yeah, he's in his 20s.
Oh,
he
I
also dated Kate Beckinsale, who's
I just don't understand what's going on here.
Okay, so yeah, she's 41. I mean, Kate Beckinsale, who I had a crush on going way back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, way, way back, who's, well, I guess it makes sense. She's my age. She's freaking 48. Okay. I mean.
So she's 20 years older than you.
Joe, I never knew how old you were. Now I do.
Yeah, well, there you go. Now I feel bad for saying it out loud. Yeah, it's a nice, what is that? Is that, we call that a May-December romance? Or maybe a May.
I guess.
May-August romance? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it's cuffing season.
What?
What does that mean?
You guys have never heard that term?
No.
It essentially means you get like a boyfriend or a girlfriend in the winter months because you just like stay inside and you don't go out as much. So like I guess from like September till like February, and then once like the summer comes, you're like,
just done.
It's over.
And what is cuffing exactly?
Cuffing means like you're hooked together, like you're dating, whatever. You're settled down.
Oh, like handcuffing.
Like you're settled down. Yeah, it's a term.
Okay.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
How about those tight ends?
I will not say it. That Tennessee football team.
Oh, boy. I did not expect you to start the show that way.
I'm sorry.
So don't apologize.
I want to hear Johansson from last night. You got that queued up?
We can pull it up. The vibing lives on last night. I thought we may be done with it. Apparently we're not.
Hey, Robbie. Still vibing, kid?
Still vibing, bud.
Hey, Robbie.
Still vibing, kid?
Wait, he almost sounded like a Beatle there. Robbie. Like someone from Liverpool. I love it. Still vibing.
Still vibing.
Ryan Johansson.
Preds were vibing again last night. A 3-2 win against the Anaheim Ducks. I said this before the game. I'll never be able to watch Preds Ducks again in my life without thinking about Johansson and Kessler just going at it all day long. I miss it. It's not the same anymore, but pretty good game last night for a Monday night in November. It was pretty intense, and that's a big win for the Nashville Predators last night.
Yeah, the tying goal for the Ducks, I mean, you don't
doesn't
see
get
too
luckier
many,
than that.
You don't see too many double pinball shots like that. I mean, like that one should not count on Saros' stats, you know? Like that should be wiped from the stat book. But that's when a team gets a goal like that, you kind of feel like, uh-oh, you know. And good on the Preds. Yakov Trenin, what a winning goal he had. What a play.
That was nuts.
That guy he's fun to watch.
Got Ryan Getzlaff turning the puck over and then standing at the bench and just, taking a front row seat, watching Yakov Trenin the whole time. That was interesting.
That was weird.
Nice veteran play by Ryan Getzlaff there. Ryan Johansson was awesome last night. He gets the goal on a great play by Yakov Trenin, gets the assist on Granlund's goal, who – I guess Johansson ties up the faceoff. Granlund goes and gets it and skates up to the point with his back to the net and is looking around for somebody to give the puck to, and he's like, there's nobody around me. I guess I'm just going to turn around and shoot. Dude's pretty good. He's been awesome so far this year.
Yeah, no doubt. And my guy, Matt Duchene, for pick to click, my guy, almost scored.
He almost had two.
And then what was up with the sort of hug of Getzlaff after that?
I don't know. Maybe they're good friends.
It's a kinder, gentler rivalry.
But
the Preds won. So, big win for them. Very disappointing effort in Montreal a couple nights ago. You don't want to follow that up to start this big homestand. I mean, you got, it's going to be three games in count them up for me. 5 days? Yeah. 3 games in 5 days? You can start that off with a win. So that's key.
Well, then four and six, basically, because you go Saturday night to Denver on the back-to-back.
That's right. So four, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you go right out to Colorado.
By the way, that's a heck of a back-to-back here on a Friday and out to the altitude on a Saturday.
To play that team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, so try to squirrel away those wins when you can. That was very important. So they played better.
The Predators heading into the game yesterday had the second-best power play in the National Hockey League. Right behind Edmonton, which I say right behind Edmonton. Nobody's really close to Edmonton at this point, so they should probably just go ahead and give them the award for the best power play in the league because Connor McDavid's a freak. But the puck movement on the power play last night, I mean, they had one power play goal for Granlund. Their power play looks so good right now. So good. And this is without Philip Forsberg. Now, it looked pretty good with Forsberg in there too, so it's not a causation correlation type thing there. But they are moving the puck so well, and they look dangerous every single opportunity on the power play. It is night and day from where it was a couple years ago.
Well, and it's not just moving the puck. They are moving themselves.
Yep.
At times, I'm like, wait, what are you doing? But it's all making sense. And they like the confidence they have, it's like they've just got it on a string. I mean, you think about that compared to what we saw for really quite a while, but especially that 1 year, but like for quite a while.
Yeah.
Hard to watch. And now it's like, how did this happen? I mean, it's a lot of the same guys.
I don't know if that Vengen power play gift's coming back anytime this year. They look pretty good on the power play. They've got some staying power if they keep playing like that on the power play.
Yeah, and like you said, you would think that whenever you get Forsberg back, that just makes it that much potentially better. But yeah, they've just got a really it's connected. You know, just like anything in sports, you know, football, defense, or whatever. Like, they have a chemistry of the five people on the ice. It's really impressive.
I put this on the GameNashville.com last night after the game. Are Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene officially back? You know, we're almost at American Thanksgiving, which everybody talks about being the line of demarcation as to whether or not you're for real and whether or not you're a good team. Now, again, that's not always the case. We see teams that are really good until January the 5th, and teams that are awful until January the 5th and go on and win the Stanley Cup. Look no further than the St. Louis Blues a few years ago. But I tell you what, they both look really good so far. Ryan Johansson and John Hines and Johansson talked about this after the game last night. He's moving his feet and skating as well as I've ever seen him skate. And if he's doing that, the physical, you know, just ability that he brings to the table and the size, he's tough to handle if he's moving his feet that well. And last night, he was an absolute force out there, offensively, defensively. You know, he was playing with Tolvanen and Tomasino, and you know, there were a couple times he made a play last night, and Tolvanen either just missed on it or Tomasino was in the wrong spot, and that'll come if they keep that line together. But Johansson was awfully good last night, and you know, the way Matt Duchene's playing as of late kind of speaks for itself. And you know, he didn't score last night. He had two chances where the one was on the power play that you're talking about, hugging Getzlaff, and he had one where he basically had the puck on the string in the third period on the goal line, cut towards the net, cut back out, dangled around, and basically had a turnaround fadeaway that he just ripped. That was about an inch and a half from getting past John Gibson. He is playing awfully well right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good team. Like, they're a playoff team, and it's because of them. I mean, what else is unexpected or massively overachieving? You could say Tanner Jeannot this year. You know, obviously the hope was that Saros would play like this, that the defense core would be solidified. Actually, the hope was obviously that Philip Forsberg would have a huge year. He's not even part of it. Granlund, you knew that you could count on him. You know what Josi is. I mean,
Tolvanen's been disappointing.
That's true, and Tolvanen's been disappointing, and frankly, I think Cunning, you know, has more to give, but I mean, those two guys are why this team is good.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. And then there is the guy in net who was awesome once again last night, made some saves. He got clipped on one play, was out of the net, and turned around and just threw his pad out there and made a save. I mean, UC Saros responding very well after a tough outing in Montreal. Looks really good. Big win for the Predators last night to get their 10th win of the year. And some good news yesterday on Philip Forsberg as well, skating at Morning Skate. Could be back at some point this week. So something to keep your eye on there when it comes to Philip Forsberg. Speaking of playoffs, Nashville SC in action tonight, taking on Orlando City SC. Nashville SC, the 3 seed in the playoffs. On the eastern side, Orlando City, the 6 seed. Back at home tonight, going to be a little bit cold out there, but another home playoff match for Nashville SC. Interested to see, as we begin play tonight, how long this run can last and what this Nashville SC team can bring to the table. They've been a team that's been very consistent at home all season long. They did not lose a home play or home match all season long. They've been much more dangerous offensively this year than we saw a season ago heading into the playoffs. This team, to me, has, I think, a really good opportunity to make some noise here, and that starts tonight against Orlando City.
I hope that field is, not torn up too much from the rainy football game from 2 days ago. But, yeah, huge game, and the winner will play at Philly.
Yep.
But it's a chance to see this team at home, see if they can get on another run. It's been a big week, too. I mean, Nashville SC also yesterday kind of had some news on the new stadium ahead of schedule, like under budget. That's going to be an incredible.
Those are two phrases you don't see very often in professional sports right. When stadium construction.
Right, seriously. Like, what? What are you talking about? But that place is going to be great. In the meantime, this is the last hurrah of 2 years at Nissan Stadium. This could be the last one tonight. And, this team's been solid all year, very difficult to beat. And obviously they had the benefit, I guess, of the surprise last year during their run. A little more expectation this time around, but I think they got a chance to make a run.
Well, they're a team that obviously with Gary Smith, they're going to play a certain way defensively. They're going to be suffocating. But they also, possession-wise, any metric you want to look at this year, they've been much more dangerous offensively. I mean, Hani Mukhtar, we've talked about a lot here on the show. He's been great. Randall Leal, CJ Sapong, they have a lot of threats out there offensively that can finish. And, that actually, as they got into the playoffs last year, they started to finish a little bit more, which is partly why they were able to go on the run they were able to go on. But it's been a fairly consistent thing for them this year. They've been able to score, and I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they have on the table and what they can do tonight. I'm starting off the playoffs against Orlando City SC. We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Row, taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll switch gears, get into the Titans and Ryan Tannehill. How does this his play get better with the roster currently constructed moving forward here in the next few weeks? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, TD let Jared have it yesterday afternoon. It was epic. I missed this. I need to go back and check this out.
About what?
TD just giving it to Jared apparently yesterday. I don't know.
I like it. I'm here for it.
I'm sure you are.
I didn't hear it, but good job, TD.
Oh.
So you saw Jared last night, huh?
I did. You got in his head yesterday about your Rex rant.
The Rex rant was not exclusively about Jared.
I'm just telling you, you got in his head.
But did he tell you that he tapes all of the shows in the entire market and listens to all of them? Listens to every line?
The whole country.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It is.
If anyone could do it, I can't actually believe it. I know he's always like, oh, yeah, those guys in Boston. I'm like, you have time in a day to listen to, like, Boston sports radio? What?
Apparently so. Before we get into the Tannehill stuff, Titans fans are losing their mind right now on Twitter, and they're talking about it on Good Morning Football as we speak. Jonathan Taylor potentially getting some league MVP love as a running back. Your thoughts on this situation, and should Titans fans be upset that Jonathan Taylor is getting some MVP love?
This one really confounds me. like the some of the media reaction too. And I guess what how I would sum the reaction up is people freaking out and saying, well, why didn't you say this about Derrick Henry? They did say this about Derrick Henry. They were talking about Derrick Henry. Am I wrong? Did I miss this?
I don't think so.
So, hey, look, first of all, people actually like throwing out alternative to quarterback MVP candidates in a given year. I mean, like, and they never win.
Right.
And he probably won't. I mean, again, he plays for a 6-5 team. If he were to have a game like that and then another and another, okay, then let's start talking.
Hey, you start racking up 5 touchdown games, you're going to be in a good spot.
Yeah. I don't know why people are freaking out so much because after a ridiculously good game, a 200-yard, 5 touchdown game, people wouldn't throw his name out. It is, and we've talked about this, I mean, this is a year for something like that because the quarterbacks who are in there, you know, Murray gets hurt, Rodgers. You know, has Brady's team is losing more than you'd expect. I mean, there's not an obvious quarterback that's like, boom, this is my award.
Yep.
So that kind of leaves the door open. So you're going to throw guys out there. He won't be the last person who gets thrown out there. Someone will go nuts and they'll talk about him. I don't know why people look at this as an affront to Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's hurt and he's out.
Well, and you know, the conversation I saw a lot yesterday was Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards last year and didn't win the MVP. This is a joke if that happens. It's like, okay, well, Aaron Rodgers had 48 touchdown passes and like 5 picks last year and had literally one of the greatest seasons in history of a quarterback. It's different. Like, it's if that was happening this year, nobody would be talking about Jonathan Taylor right now. It's very different.
That's exactly. Like, there was no way. I'm trying to even think. Was there any competition for Rodgers for the award? Like, who was second?
I think Josh Allen was
second. Josh Allen was second. He was a distant second, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, look, if it stays this way where, okay, now this team rises, this team falls, Lamar Jackson's hurt, misses time. You know, if it were to be a perfect storm, could a guy like Jonathan Taylor actually have a chance? Yeah, I guess. But we talked about with Derrick Henry's candidacy, it would take probably another 2,000. It would take them being elite.
Yep.
And I don't think the Colts are going to get there. So, look, it's not going to happen. I mean, this is just – it's just filling airtime like we are doing right now.
Yes.
Very well, I might
Thank
add.
You. It does kind of highlight, though, like if Derrick Henry could have just stayed healthy.
Oh man. No. I mean, just imagine.
This probably would have been the year.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, it could have been. But you know what? Maybe. But – there's still enough football left that any of those guys, Brady, Rodgers. I mean, shoot, what if Mahomes goes nuts and they win out? I mean, like, I'm guessing one of these quarterbacks will probably step forward. How about my guy, Captain Kirk? I'm just saying.
I've never seen a quarterback that should have thrown 4 interceptions end up with 0 like that. It was unbelievable.
Well, you know. Sometimes you throw them and you get the blame, just like Ryan Tannehill did. And you don't throw them, and you didn't throw them.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe from Maryland texting in. It just sucks that in a year where the quarterbacks are down, Henry gets hurt and could very well have run away with the MVP. You know, maybe so. I mean, he could have – if he – you know, obviously – he stayed healthy and continued the production he was going at. And you were talking about maybe all-time rushing record at that point. So certainly would have put in his name in the conversation. I thought about this. Even as bad and as poorly as the Titans played and as poorly as Tannehill played, if you have Derrick Henry in that game on Sunday, maybe it's a different story.
Oh, probably. And he probably goes for a number.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. The game... You know, the game conspired to take away the Titans' run game, but there was a lot of run game there available for them, for, you know, Peterson and Foreman and Hilliard to run. So, yeah, it's probably hard not to think of that. Woulda, coulda, but that's what the NFL is. I mean, every year, most of the league is woulda, coulda.
Yep.
Individually and team-wise.
So we spent a lot of the show yesterday discussing Ryan Tannehill, obviously, and his performance against the Texans. 4 interceptions. He is at 13 touchdowns, 12 picks on the year right now. And you look at the roster as currently constructed. Who knows what Marcus Johnson's status is going to look like this week? Who knows about A.J. Brown? Although, I guess some positive news on A.J. Brown yesterday. The x-rays on the ribs, negative. So
according to Rappaport.
According to Rappaport. Yeah. So I guess some good news there. We'll wait and see what his status looks like this week. But right now, not a great spot to be in if you're Ryan Tannehill with the weapons that are currently at your disposal. So my question to you is, it's been a struggle turning the ball over all season long for Tannehill. How does this improve? How does this get better with a roster, especially at the wide receiver position, that we just don't really know what's going to be there and what's going to be available as they go throughout the next few weeks here?
Well, the first quick answer to that is it gets better if the receivers he practices with during a week are the receivers he's throwing to on Sunday. After watching it again, and give Steve Lehman credit for bringing this up yesterday too, but you watch again, he's absolutely right. The pick in the end zone, Vrabel, no one's confirming this, but if you watch that play again, Des Fitzpatrick is supposed to be clear. That's actually for Chester Rogers. And I didn't realize that at first. I was like, why are two guys in the same area? And it looked like he was throwing to Des Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick needs to cut across the defensive back's face and clear that out for a corner for Chester Rogers, I believe. So now, I still would say that's a risky throw to Rogers. But, I mean, I guess it's hard to know exactly how the play is going to play out if the route is run correctly by the rookie. And then we know about the other one on the sideline. There was some kind of mix-up, too. You know, Tannehill said something to him on the sideline that was caught on tape, about. So, yeah, look, I don't think there's any question that having a rookie who's – I mean, the thing about passing in the NFL is, it ultimately falls on the quarterback. If you throw a pick, it's just how it is. Like, that's on your record. It's your pick. This is so much about precision and about both sides of the passing game being on the same page, reading the same thing, and then you have the same timing, the same depth that you expect, and you rep it and rep it and rep it over and over again. And so when you throw in a guy, all of a sudden, oh, Marcus Johnson's out, and oh, A.J. Brown's out, and now the guy that you had for depth is now your ex. It's a tough spot. And you're coming back, and you're playing 2 minutes, so you're not even huddling. All these things, and I'm not trying to make excuses for Tannehill. I'm just saying that was part of the story here. He also threw the first pick. I have no explanation for that. The last pick was a force. He tried to throw other picks that weren't picked, to your Kirk Cousins point there.
Yeah.
So some of it is him being better. But, certainly, he's got to be on the same page with the people who are playing. Titans receivers are almost like Spinal Tap drummers at this point. That's a reference I hope someone out there gets. I mean, it's like, dude, I don't know if I want to be on the field with the Titans because, like, I might, internally
pop your hamstring.
Yeah, but who's he going to rep with this week? I don't feel great about A.J. Brown playing this week. Chester Rogers will be out there. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina has been durable as durable. And
wide receiver one.
I mean, Des Fitzpatrick? And who am I forgetting? I mean, Marcus Johnson pulls a hamstring. What's he going to do?
Yeah.
You got those three. I mean, this is where Josh Reynolds would be okay to have.
Well, I did see, and I can't remember who this was. Somebody put this out there yesterday, and it was somebody like from Pro Football Focus or something. One of those websites of Josh Reynolds couldn't crack the lineup for the Titans and that disheveled receiving core that they have, but he goes to Detroit and immediately is wide receiver one on 24 of 25 dropbacks for Tim Boyle, while also not mentioning that he had zero catches, one drop, and a pass interference penalty, an offensive pass interference penalty.
So, really?
Didn't go very well for Josh Reynolds.
Jeez. Well, also, the receiving core wasn't quite this disheveled when he left. I mean, he was behind a bunch of guys. But now that I think about it, I mean, there's got to be
they got to make some – well, because –
I mean, Mason Kinsey has got to go come up big in New England.
Well, I'm glad you bring not necessarily him up, but my reaction if I'm a Titans fan, if I start – you brought up the route of Des Fitzpatrick when he's running – I think it was the third pick yesterday that we talked about, and then the one in the end zone. If that's two instances where he's running the wrong route, probably doesn't need to be on the field. Like, I understand that they're thin there, obviously, but, go sign somebody who can run the right route. If he's not ready to run the right route, you can't have him on the field if you're John Robinson, the Titans.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong, but obviously you don't – well, another guy who is here who I think absolutely you could see is Cody Hollister is back. I forgot that they had brought him back. So I'd expect Hollister and Kinsey to be up, you know, barring a really fast recovery for both Brown and Johnson. So, and I hear what you're saying. You still and now remember, early in the game, Fitzpatrick did have some packages where he was in. But that's okay. This is your package for today. Here's what you're in for. Fine.
Right.
Easy. I mean, you just don't expect to lose two guys. I mean, you're right. You could go out and sign a veteran. You'd feel better about understanding some of that stuff. But it still would be someone you barely would have repped with. And you could have had timing issues with that person, too. So, I mean, I hate to put it all on bad luck, but that's a fair chunk of it, at least the personnel situation. The way to make it better is practice. Practice makes perfect.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans and Ryan Tannehill. Take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit VolStateBank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ron on the text line. I said this on Darren Donica Chase yesterday. I hate to say it, but Woodside has more chemistry with those receivers out there playing than Tannehill does. Maybe they should have taken Tannehill out after the third interception. What do you guys think about that? The idea of the players on the field, Woodside has more chemistry then. So take him out after the third pick.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I mean, those are words.
If Logan Woodside beat out Trevor Siemian, which he did, and Trevor Siemian played that well against the Titans, which he did. How good is Logan Woodside? What do you think of that?
You know who did that transitive property of sports very well last week? Mr. Stillman.
Yes,
he totally did that.
I'm sure he did.
In our Jared versus Joe segment. I'm like, wow, transitive property of sports. So there you go. Logan Woodside is the greatest quarterback ever. By the way, Siemian looked a little less effective against the Eagles.
He threw an absolute pizza interception to Slay. That was a pick six. It was not great from Trevor Siemian. But, by the way, I can't believe that we've made it 34 minutes into the show, and we have not congratulated our good friend Taysom Hill on his new contract.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is worth, according to Adam Schefter, anywhere from $45 million to $90 million, based on the position that he plays. Right around 22.5 guaranteed for Taysom Hill. What a big day yesterday for the Saints, for Joe Rexrode, and for Taysom Hill as well.
I mean, talk about the biggest bargain in sports, to only pay Taysom Hill that much. Amazing work, Saints. No, in all seriousness, I don't get it. I really don't understand it. Do they think that he's going to – I mean, I understand that he's a nice, you know, runner. He comes in and gives you some plays, but – do they think he's going to all of a sudden develop into like a starting quarterback in the NFL?
Well, I guess my question for Sean Payton would be, like, if you're not playing him at quarterback right now, what are you waiting on? Because Jameis Winston's hurt. Trevor Siemian, despite being really good for about three quarters so far this year, is not good. So if you think that all of a sudden Taysom Hill is going to turn into this guy, what's stopping you right now?
Right. I mean, it was supposedly – an actual competition between Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, Siemian, you get in there.
I guess they just love the Taysom Hill package that much.
They're just waiting for, like, he's like the secret weapon. You know, in 2024, just wait. Taysom Hill unleashed on the league. It's very weird. I mean, that's a lot of money. And I understand it's also like the deal in the short term. It's actually a cap move, so you got to keep that in mind. But still, yeesh.
Congratulations to Taysom Hill. Good day to be him, I guess.
Congrats, Taysom. Can't wait to watch more 8-yard runs in the red zone.
Joe from Maryland on the text line. What do you guys think of the Colts' chances of passing us in the division? They are hot, we are banged up, and not playing so great right now.
Well, we went through this yesterday. I would be shocked if that happens.
Yes.
It's still very – I will say this. This week, if the Titans go out and drop one to the Patriots, which is obviously very possible.
Yep.
Unless Mason Kinsey can make it not so. It's – they're in a spot right now with their roster. And obviously, they could lose to fall to 8-4. I think that's what most people around the league would expect. If the Colts beat the Bucs at home, then, I mean, we will be talking about it. You have to talk about a race then. You have to talk about a race if that happens, and everything changes. The Titans really need to root for the Colts to look like last night, like maybe they've awakened, or the Bucs to look like they've awakened. Because if that happens... Now, you're talking about a 1-game lead? Yes, really a 2-game lead because you swept them, but that's still a lot of football left to play. And now you'd be talking about the Colts winning two of the toughest games remaining on their schedule. Now, even if that were to happen, again, let's look at the schedule the rest of the way. The Colts still would be looking at the Pats, the Cardinals on the road.
Yep.
And they basically, their margin for error, I think, is low because I still think the Titans have several wins in them. I still like the Titans' chances to beat the Jags at home. You got the Niners and Dolphins at home. It's just, look, if this week goes the Colts' way and they get it to a game, then it does change the conversation. The Titans would still have the edge as long as they still have a football team that can go out on Sundays.
I will say, I know it was the New York Giants they were playing last night, so there's not much I think you can learn from the Bucs. But turns out having Rob Gronkowski back, I think, pretty important for that group.
Yeah.
6 catches, 71 yards. Looked pretty good.
Well, look at the Niners last week when they get Kittle back and how different they look. Look at the Bucs, how different they look with Gronk. Look at the Titans and how nice it would be to have a difference-making tight end that has not been there all year.
It is not. Ferkser did have 5 receptions the other day for 26 yards and a fumble recovery touchdown.
I mean, at least he was involved. Yeah. It was a
that
step.
Was, I mean, seriously, that was the most involved he's been all year.
Right. It's got to continue. And, ideally more than 5 yards a catch. But it's something. But it's not much. And now Swaim, by the way, they miss Swaim.
Yeah.
It's another guy. There's so many injuries, you forget all of them. But Jeff Swaim. And by the way, someone mentioned this on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, and it's a fair question. I thought about this Sunday. How did Swaim and McNichols get concussions during the practice?
I don't know.
Vrabel come out and say, we're going to have a full contact practice.
They like collide with each other in the backfield.
Obviously it could be. It could also be like slipping in the shower. All this stuff's possible, but you don't see that too often in the NFL these days. That you would have like concussion injuries from a week of practice because especially this time of year. I would assume especially with this team, it's like okay,
in bubble wrap
let's
out there,
gently jog to the locker room.
Yeah,
get in your cars, put your seatbelts on. 2 pillows tonight, yes. At least when you're in bed.
Some memory foam in there. Make sure you're ready to go.
I want you to eat with plastic silverware only, okay?
It's a rough spot for the Titans. And then, going back to the Tannehill conversation, you look at the matchup against the Patriots. It's going to be difficult, even if A.J. Brown and Marcus Johnson are in there. If they're not, I don't really know what the formula is that you're trying to accomplish if you're Todd Downing and the Titans, because they are not a very easy team to run the ball on with the front that they have. And, we talk about free agents. It's possible that so far, just based purely on this year and not moving forward, so far the Patriots have the best draft pick this year in Mac Jones, maybe the best free agent pickup in Matthew Judon too. That dude has been an absolute stud for the Patriots so far this year.
Why do I remember that name? I feel like someone kept mentioning that name over and over again during phrases.
Who could it have been?
Yeah. Still a long way to see, you know, how Bud Dupree works out. Yes, Matthew Judon has been terrific. He's also has joined, you know, a really good front, you know, and got some guys back that didn't play last year. I mean, they are stout, and they're just very solid all the way around. So it's, I mean, I feel like the Titans' defense, especially like if you can get a David Long back this week, I would think that would be possible.
Yep.
Can you get a Rashawn Evans back? Because I'll tell you what, you know, Jayon Brown, let's not forget, he left the game late. And you can get those three guys who didn't, you know, who didn't produce in the pass rush category, but certainly have had great years. You know, I think the Titans defense can keep the score down in this game. But attacking that team offensively, it's a big, 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 big assignment for Todd Downing and company.
Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The deal this week, a buy one, get one range pass at the Nashville Armory. A value of $50 for only $25. The Nashville Armory is Tennessee's premier shooting facility. Whether seeking basic to advanced firearms training or shooting full auto machine guns in their 50 caliber rated range, you can buy, train, shoot at the Nashville Armory. Nashville Armory located at 4290 Kennewood Drive in Nashville. The website is armyranges.com. So get your deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Special. I really do. I will never take what I do for granted. The opportunity to get to coach this football team, to get to, you know, travel to other stadiums. You know, certainly this one, you know, having spent 8 years there, you know, we've been through all that. We've handled that. We've touched on it. But, you know, Tyler's going to be up to, you know what I mean? It's like Tyler's going to be there. Tyler's going to school there. So, yeah, I think it'll be cool, but I think coaching in this league and playing in this league is special too.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday at his press conference discussing going back to New England, which feels like he didn't want much part of that discussion. I mean, he's already kind of had that discussion before.
Yeah,
they have won a playoff
game.
But
every time you play them, the questions are going to come.
That's
so
true.
Go down memory lane and, you know.
I did like how TD got after him a little bit yesterday. I mean, he started down the, you know, the Belichick rabbit hole thing, and Vrabel wasn't having much of it, and then TD was like, well, Belichick said this, this, and this, and Vrabel was like, oh, okay, well, if Bill talked, then I'll just go.
Well, Vrabel's like, all right, I'd say the same thing about him.
Yeah, yes. All right.
It was a good attempt by TD. And I didn't see, you know, the Belichick press conference, but wow, he actually said stuff.
That's kind of amazing.
Come on, Vrabel.
Are we going to have like a what did Vrabel do in the playoff game, the punt rule where you're taking delay a game after delay a game? We're going to see that again coming up?
I don't know.
On Sunday.
We'll have to see if either of them can find a loophole to frustrate the heck out of the other. That was something else. Belichick just over there screaming and Vrabel basically cackling on the other sideline.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tyler texting in, what's a worse call, throwing the ball with 9 seconds left in the first half with no timeouts or the AP 4th-and-1 run attempt?
But the AP 4th-and-1 run attempt.
Yeah.
I
heard Jared
say,
making a big deal about this yesterday, the throwing the ball with 9 seconds thing and what good could possibly happen there, just kick the 41 or 42-yard field goal, whatever it was. I mean, I would hope you could trust your quarterback to throw the ball out of bounds if something's not there and make a good decision, get rid of the ball quick. Like, you're not really anticipating an intentional grounding penalty being taken there.
Right. It was a bad kicking day. So you need, you know, so 6, 7, 10 yards absolutely matters there. I mean, we saw Bullock miss an extra point. We saw Fairbairn miss an extra point. So you should be able to trust your quarterback to try to get something on the sideline to get you a little closer. If not, throw it away. And it just turned out on that play, one, The rush got to Tannehill too fast for him to get outside the tackle box, and then there just wasn't a receiver, you know, in the intermediate area to his right, and he sailed it out of bounds. If he just throws it deeper and out of bounds, I think it's fine, but he didn't. And it's still a iffy call, I think. But there's a lot of things that conspired to make that the worst scenario for the Titans. As far as just the decision to pass, I don't have a problem with that. You have a veteran quarterback. You got to be able to trust him. And the fourth and one to AP or AD or Adrian Peterson, whatever you want to call him. That one, to me, was a lot worse. That was the worst call of the day and a big, big moment.
Would you like to see the Titans with the running backs maybe pick one a little bit more? I mean, it seems like they're basically going through a rotation at this point, and we knew it was to some degree going to be by committee. But I still feel like Deontay Foreman brings something to the table in terms of just his style of running that I like. I would like to see him get the majority of the carries. Do you agree with that? Do you anticipate that will change for the Titans moving forward?
I do agree. I mean, I think that you have to – like, I don't think you go into a game and say, okay, right at this point, and say, this is the guy, everybody else, you know, we're going to give him a lot more work. And I still think you're in a situation where you're kind of bouncing around early in a game. But I think when someone gets going, then go with that. And it still seems like they're kind of – what doesn't matter – what's happening. And granted, they haven't had a ton of running success, but when they have, they'll just be, okay, now it's your series. I think at some point you got to get out of that. And I think Foreman has the most to give. Now, Peterson did have his best game. I mean, he had his best moments. He looked like a guy a few times Sunday.
Especially a couple times early. He looked really good.
So, hey, maybe, again, like he'll get going, but from what we've seen so far, I think Foreman is a better option. I mean, I thought Hilliard ran the ball well, by the way. And what about, like, if McNichols is back this week, does that just put Hilliard back on the inactive? I guess.
I would assume so.
Yeah. But I agree. I think Foreman should be getting more work. Now, Foreman did, and I asked about this yesterday, because there was a clear, at least one play, where he ran the play wrong. And Vrabel said that was the only one. I wasn't sure if there was more than one where he – I thought there was another awkward-looking play with him in the backfield, but he said it was just one, so it's not a concern. So that's not like some reason that he's being, you know, withheld or being limited in the amount of work he's getting. I feel like he's a guy who could really wear on a defense if you let him.
Liam on the text line. Adrian Peterson is getting too much benefit of the doubt because of his history. Without his name, he is maybe our third best back. It's coming from Liam on the text line. I think you can make an argument.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly before Sunday, you did see something Sunday. And it's good. I mean, you want it to be a tough choice because everyone's playing well, you know. I think there's some truth to that. Obviously, he has an incredible history in this league. He's done a lot. There's some benefit in having a veteran who's seen a ton of things. I just don't. Even like the running high thing that he's talked about, I think it showed up again on that fourth and one. I don't know if it would have mattered because they just got beat on that play. But he seems to be running high.
Well, the other thing, like, can your offensive line get back to being healthy? Like, could Nate Davis be healthy coming in this week? Like, honestly. Especially from a pass blocking standpoint, I just don't know that I have a bunch of confidence that they're all of a sudden going to get better this year. They've not been a good pass blocking offensive line all season long. We're 11 games into the season. I don't know that I buy that all of a sudden in game 12 they're just going to turn into, you know, this stout pass blocking line. Now, you know, getting Taylor Lewan in there healthy for multiple games in a row certainly you would think would help in that area. You know, getting some guys back, Nate Davis back, you know. Certainly would help, but they just have been caved in time and time again so far this year, pass blocking, and I just don't have a lot of confidence at this point that that's all of a sudden going to get better.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, I think it can still get better. I mean, it's going to be difficult to look better this week against that front. I mean, this is and then you get time off, and a lot of it is health. I mean, but look, I mean, Saffold and Jones are two guys who, you know, they're better as run blockers than pass protectors. They have their moments here and there. I think Lawan actually is starting around into form. Quisenberry's been pretty good this year. You know, the right guard, one of the sacks the other day was definitely Brewer's guy. You know, although I think it was a twist, but you know, still he didn't pick up the guy, and it was a pressure right up the middle that got Tannehill to the ground. Maybe it wasn't a twist. I don't know, but regardless, Nate Davis is obviously your better option there. Two straight concussions, I guess, or a concussion that came back. I mean, I think it's two straight concussions. It's not great. And he hasn't been good. But like last year, I thought Nate Davis, in every aspect of playing,
was really
offensive
good.
Line was very good. So can you get that back? I would have to think it's possible. I mean, your best bet is at least to get the same five guys together. They still have not had their starters play a game together, a full game together. So,
which is incredible.
It is incredible. But it also kind of is totally on brand for this team.
Yes, it is. And then defensively, David Long Jr. I agree. Like, to me, I look at the Patriots game. The path to winning this game is you're going to need to get back to playing defense like you played the last few weeks. And the pass rush being a big part of that, obviously. But getting after Mac Jones, forcing some turnovers, and creating some short fields for your offense that way. Like, to me, that's the path for hanging in there in this game. You got to have a great game defensively.
And the path might be the same path as the Rams game, which who knows how that game goes if you don't basically score two defensive touchdowns, what you did. You know, but you did it by, from the start of that game, setting the tone that you were going to beat their butts up front inside, and then it just – and that affected the quarterback. So could you affect a rookie quarterback with a fearsome pass rush in his face from the start? Yeah. That's I don't see a way they win without that.
You force a fumble on Mac Jones, just watch your ankles this week.
That is a good point.
Don't need any more injuries on that side of the ball.
That's true. Autry, Simmons, if any of you get a strip sack, curl up, go turtle.
Practice do your hurdles, one of the two,
Do not let him get near you.
Mac Jones, he'll take you down.
The dirty joker.
When we come back, we'll switch gears, get into the Tennessee Vols. A win on Saturday that makes them bowl eligible in Josh Heupel's first season. How big a deal is that? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.